We have a couple callers. We have some WhatsAppers. Don't you brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Ms. Gale.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
Well, thanks.
Pleasant. Oh, actually, I am listening. I am a bit confused as to Emancipation Day and the rights. Now, having followed my history and having relate to Emancipation Day, and having followed my history, I relate to the riots of 1937. I am confused to find out exactly what we are celebrating. And I say that to say this, that probably, I don't know if you are aware that Cause House, you're familiar with the name Cause House?
Say that again.
Cause House, C-O-D-D, Cause House.
No.
Well, let me explain to you, and perhaps Mr. Johnson could support me in this, because I think we were the two people who lobbied for the situation. In 19, the waterworks used to operate out of a building there on Corey Street, which was known as Courthouse. The background to Courthouse, there were two properties, and as far as the properties were concerned, they were bought by the government of the day in 1837. And eventually, 1837, but in 1843, my history relates to the fact that the Emancipation Bill was signed. They're making it possible for Samuel Jackson Prescott to be the first black man to enter Parliament. Now, I say that to say this. We see a group of people walking from the Busser statue in relation to Emancipation Day. But we have not seen a gathering of people assembling in Corey Street where the center of it all transpired. And that is that when you come across Corey Street, just outside of the central police station, there's just been some renovation that's been done there with the synagogue and with the car park. They've built a little remembrance of a little white canopy in remembrance of the Cause House. I'm kind of surprised to think that we have placed a lot of emphasis on Emancipation Day. But we've also mixed ourselves up, Ms. Gale, with the fact of 1937 riots. Because when these people march, they march in relation to the 1937 riots. When they celebrate, they're not celebrating 1843, as far as my reading tells me. This is when Samuel Jackson Prescott was the first person to enter Parliament, because the Emancipation Bill was signed at one of the courthouse properties there. So I am confused. I'm confused. Why are we acknowledging the true fact of emancipation, but we're not celebrating it the way they should? We're celebrating the rebellion. We're celebrating the rebellion of Busser. And we're mixing it up also with the fact that we're also celebrating, we're not celebrating the wealth as it should. Now, you might be aware of Cause House. Cause House is where it's documented that the staff of the waterworks then saw the magistrate Archer at the time walking across Corey Street onto Swan Street, onto Prince William Henry Street, to go to the four crossroads of Broad Street and Prince William Henry Street to read the proclamation as far as the West was concerned. So I don't know why we have confused this. I don't know why we have confused our history in relation to dates and times. And perhaps if it can be righted, I'd be grateful. I think you understand where I'm coming from, that we have now found that somewhere along the line that the location that should really be celebrated for Emancipation Day, which is on Corey Street, which there is a replica there, because the house was destroyed. Cause House was destroyed back in the early 70s, Cause House was destroyed. Nothing has been built other than turn it into a car park. Within recent times, there have been a lobby between Goodley, Mr. Johnson, and myself in relation to establishing that area as a historical area in relation to the synagogue, in relation to the old telephone company, and in relation to the buildings in there. But we have now seen that. I thought it would have been changed where people would now relate to where the Emancipation Bill was signed and where the true celebration would be taking place in 1834. Any comments from you?
I haven't done some history couple years ago. I heard you say that there's a mixing of dates, et cetera. I don't think that people intended to mix dates. People were using the chronology of events more so to tell a story. And I think I used the term 1837 earlier when it should have been 1937. But the essence of the Emancipation Day really is for those countries that were enslaved to commemorate that they're no longer enslaved. And that's not difficult. You talk about where it should be done and where it shouldn't be done. But if a people were free, and if I was enslaved and I was in St. Lucie, another set of people were enslaved and they were on another plantation in St. John, you're saying that they should assemble one place and commemorate Emancipation Day? You understand why people celebrate the day. I'm sure the discussion way back in the 90s, the early 90s, when it became a discussion towards becoming a holiday or a day off, which was eventually done in 1998. But I'm sure the discussion was more about what we suffered as a people, how we have come out and where we are now, etc. But not so much the place. So,
all right, Miss Gale, 100 years after, 100 years after the property was bought by the government, as I read in 1837, mm-hmm. we had the riots of 1937. Mm-hmm. 6 years after 1843, mm-hmm. 1843, we had the situation where the Emancipation Bill was signed at courthouse. Mm-hmm. Making it possible for, as I mentioned earlier, my particular exercise on this is that we have misinterpreted what we really are location. Nobody recognized Port Coleridge Street in relation to the importance of the history of Fort Barbara. The Jews celebrate that because their history lies within the precincts there.
Yes.
And the Jews celebrate it. But mm-hmm. in true and fact, we don't celebrate location. We don't celebrate location in true and fact. That's all I'm saying.
And that's more cultural than anything else. Because I recall when I was in, only last year, I had the opportunity to visit, when I went to the White House and a couple other places, we had a little history lesson one day. We had just got to Washington and D.C. And there was a monument almost every step of the way. And it was this happened in this place and that happened in that place and this black this and this white this and this thing was passed. Telling a story. Historically, we want to wipe, we meaning black people, want to wipe the memory of the pain away from us, and therefore the commemoration is not one thing that we do. And I hear you, and I feel a lot of some of it is cultural, and then it links kind of back to the previous caller who talked about not telling the story good enough that people believe it and understand it and can remember it and can live through it. So some of it is how we teach our next generation on the importance of something. So it's not that I am disagreeing or agreeing with you, but I'm saying it may very well be cultural because here I am with no appreciation for courthouse, having not heard about courthouse, never even, you know, so I don't have an appreciation, but I don't understand that it is a place that is of that significance than the same place that Bussa is, than the same place that something else took place. You understand why?
That's right.
Right.
You know, Ms. Gale, one of the questions before I leave you is that we were given the 26th of July as the wet days.
Mm-hmm.
But we come up with the 1st of August. We come up with the 1st of August as Emancipation Day. How was that date selected?
But that Emancipation Day is observed in most of the former European colonies across the globe.
We have to start our history to accommodate international.
No, and it's also in the U.S. as well. Different. I remember because I did a little bit of reading on it, and it isn't only Barbados. And I'm sure the government of the day then didn't just up and come up with a date and said, "Oh, we're gonna just do Emancipation Day on the 1st," because
I don't want
to goes into up. These things.
I don't want to hold you up. But we have a tangible point here. The fact that I am saying that as Barbadians, regards to where else of the world is concerned, as Barbadians, we've got our history. We just saw the celebration of the Reds over in the area of the First Nation. And I am saying that as Barbadians, if our history pages conflicts and we are celebrating other people's history and not ours. And you just said to me minutes ago, and I appreciate that, that the Jews are more sentimental about their culture.
Not just and the Jews. That's not what I said.
You said something like that.
I said culturally. So culturally, anyway. We have not shown the same appreciation as many other persons. Let me put it that way.
But I would want to say that we need to start to re-educate. Because as a young person, I listen to you a lot, but you, when you mention that you're not familiar with Courthouse, then it makes me understand that the appreciation, and no sooner do you read about Courthouse, because it was owned by William Court, who was the Speaker of the Parliament at one time, and who eventually sold the property to the government of the day. And from then, the waterworks operated. There were two properties there. The waterworks operated out of the properties there. And then eventually, the Proclamation Act of 1843, Parliament met at the building in 1843. And as a result of this, this is where we had the Emancipation Day. So I'm saying that I am at fault here, too, because I don't know the date of 1843. All I know is 1843. And I would love to know what date it was in 1843 that the proclamation was signed in terms of what we're talking about. So I appreciate your role to it, but as Barbadians, I think we need to understand that there is something significant there that we can represent. That is right there on Corey Street. When we pass there, every one of us who pass there, regardless of our color, as long as we are Barbadians, we should be able to acknowledge, well, here is where we got our freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks so much for your contribution. A previous caller talked about tax write-offs, etc. And we have a WhatsApper here that says that Barbados has many decent businesses who are still waiting for their VAT returns for many years, and that is a fact. There are many plumbers, hairdressers, coconut vendors, nail technicians, doctors, etc., who coin money and do not pay VAT or any taxes, and this is a fact, the person says. The person goes on to say, scrap personal income taxes and put a sales tax instead. This way the government will get more money. For too long now, a tiny percentage of taxpayers who continue to support the country. That was in response to the gentleman who said that there are persons who collect VAT and get written off. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
All right, happy Emancipation Day to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
I wanted to, you know, in light of how the discussion has flowed, I heard Mark speaking of the distortion of our history and the fact that we are not as astute regarding the political, well, the historical facts and the evolution of us as a people. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I can think of a lot of the things that are emerging reference to, you know, things that we're not aware of. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that awareness is key in terms of how we define ourselves as a people, right, how we respond to the attempt to subvert our personhood and our national interests. So truthfully, there's a need for re-education. There's a need to emphasize, you know, how we, the journey we took. I mean, we have a general knowledge, but a specific attempt to re-educate and to redefine the kind of people we are is critical as we seek to move forward and as we deal with the emergences of, you know, all those powers that try to impose their own set of beliefs on us. So I think it's an important juncture in our history, and we need to be aware of what is happening.
Yes. Awareness.
Additionally, I kind of got a snapshot of what's happening around the region. I mean, all of this is in the we see what's happening in the U.S. in terms of the mouthings of the president and the controversies that continue regarding minorities and, you know, that endemic systemic, but those endemic systemic barriers that mitigate against the freedoms of black people and other minorities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a world, has been a world phenomenon. This, over the years, we have struggled, and clearly the struggle continues. We have it in our own doses here. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to, I mean, on this Emancipation Day, this what, 1838 is what, you do the math, right? I'm not so good. 1938, 20, almost 200 years later, I mean, that symbolic time, mm-hmm. we're still, you know, battling with the vestiges of those systems. And, I mean, we talk about how we, what the legacy we will leave for our children. I think it's important that we reclaim who we are. I mean, Afrocentric people, and I know I hear people refer to scripture and stuff, and I heard a guy comparing the Israeli journey as opposed to now. I think human history is I mean, in light of the fact the Bible does record God's intervention into human history, but there is a sense to which we need to deal with what our reality has been and interpret it correctly. Yeah.
As a people?
Yeah, for sure. And not allow the, you know, the lines to be crossed. This is our current reality is shaped by a history that we have walked, and there are certain things that continue to impact on how we pull ourselves up. So, you know, it's a time for reflection, it's a time for resetting ourselves and you know, nationally and regionally and you know, as a
Do you have any, you're still there? Sounds as though you have just gone off and not hearing. You're still there? I was about to ask if I was going to engage you. I was waiting for you to conclude. Still there? Okay. Down to Brass Tacks. You're still there? So I will have to probably move on to the other call. Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Yes, I didn't go anywhere.
Right. I was asking you if you had any perspectives on the way forward, because, I mean, it's not that you're being philosophical on a day like this, but it is always good to put things in context and to reflect on where we are as a people, where we are personally, etc. And there's this constant argument every year is that we are really still very much enslaved because of the systems. It doesn't really make any sense. The governments are not, you know, they're not looking out for their peoples, etc. Just any thoughts?
Well, I think awareness must move us to the point of activism and gathering a real collective of ideas and action that, you know, redresses and moves us past the impact of systemic injustice. And, you know, so at a political level, that must happen. But I think at a national, on-the-ground level, I think one of the ways that it can happen is terms of infiltrating the minds of our people. And I think artists, as we, you know, with Piketty Crop Finals on at our doorstep, mm-hmm. I think perhaps incentive can be given for writers have create poetic license, and they can write about whatever they think mm-hmm. Or whatever they feel like. But I think perhaps an incentive can be given for there to be a song, the best song.
Higher level thinking?
Pardon?
Higher level thinking?
No, a song that speaks to the emancipation journey, mm-hmm. something like that. Maybe a song encourage, because songs have a way of resonating with people. And I think traditionally in our context, in world culture, mm-hmm. artists have been on the leading edge of purporting ideas and galvanizing philosophy. So I think that perhaps a song, best African cultural song, best emancipation song, something like that, perhaps will be a way towards encouraging people to reflect, write and reflect about this aspect of our journey. And maybe that will help.
Well, that's only but one stage. I mean, I was in discussion with someone quite recently about, is Barbados really moving forward from the perspective of, if you look at the business community and our people who were enslaved, are they really making a dent financially? Are they movers and shakers? Are they decision makers? Are we only just in the political space, but not in the space where there's the investor, and that's another discussion that needs to be had. Why is it that the hue of our investors are not the same as those persons who were enslaved?
But I remember the days of Dr. Beckles and his economic enfranchisement mantra, and how that shook up a lot of the, lots of people are uncomfortable with that, and we still are, dealing with that kind of reality. I think it's a process that political will and all that is important, but the system or the systemic divide in terms of financial allotment, mm-hmm. is there, and how that is redressed. It took years system of slavery was over a period of a few hundred years. Will it take years to redress? There's all what's the current thing now in terms of restoring economic? There's a term for it.
Confidence.
Pardon?
You mean economic confidence?
No,
building
no,
in investor of, confidence.
No, in terms of returning the wealth accrued by the Europeans to the Africans. Descendants.
Or repatriating the
not
repatriation?
Repatriating, but returning. There's a term it will come, but I'm sure Dennis knows what it is. But
okay.
my point, though, is that in that space, we're still debating whether that is relevant. We're still debating whether it should happen. I remember an English Prime Minister on a trip to Jamaica suggesting he's going to build a prison in
Tony
Jamaica,
Blair.
As opposed to, and then there was the suggestion was made that they should invest. In fact, a British university said that they were going to invest in educating, people of African descent. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the artist Akala in Britain has been a Pan-Africanist, has been at the forefront of current Pan-African thought and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have the discussion continues, but beyond discussion, awareness must move us to activism. And I think that we owe it to ourselves and generations following to shape history in a way that makes us feel justified in our existence. So, I guess
it goes a long way. I mean, I like the discussion. It really goes a long way, but What resonates with me is the awareness part, because when we know who we are, mm-hmm. is then where we can make decisions. As you said, we can move to activism, but even to just know who we are, why we think the way we think, why we do what we do. Just a couple months ago, I was privileged to be a part of the EQ Barbados, which is the emotional intelligence training done by Potter Center. And there was a set of persons in the room. Two ministers were there, one the same Minister King and the minister in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ms. Sandra Husbands. And interestingly, she talked about emancipation, and she talked about, the term is reparations.
Reparations. I know Dennis.
That's what it wasn't Dennis. It was actually my mother-in-law that sent me a note.
Thank you, mother-in-law.
But Dennis was trying to tell me something. I obviously didn't hear him through the glass.
Right.
Because he's not in the same space as I am.
Mm-hmm.
But so thank you, June. But what I was saying, hope I didn't miss my train of thought. Right, the emotional intelligence discussion. And it was very interesting to hear Minister Husbands talk about the move away from slavery and the thinking of people and what informs our what we call the raison d'etre, why we are who we are, why we think the way we do, why we do the things we do, why we respond to people the way we do. And she was kind of explaining violence and societal norms and behaviors, and it was phenomenal. I thought it was a discussion that the whole of Barbados should hear on a day like today. I don't know if we have the recording of it. I was supposed to get it from Mr. Olton subsequently, but I don't even remember if I received it or not. But that type of discussion, and then since then, we've gone through the training and we've really opened our eyes. Our pores have been opened. Our hair has been lifted. We are now far more enfranchised. So for me, it is not just who I am, what has informed me, but how can I help? How can I help you to become a better version of yourself? Because I've become a better version of myself. And if more people can be empowered and enfranchised, and I remember, which is why I said this morning in my opening remarks, that Bob Marley talked about emancipate yourself from mental slavery, because it starts with the mind. A lot of people don't realize that the subconscious and the conscious mind, or should I say, they don't understand the difference between the two. And why more of our activity is really housed in the 85%, which is the subconscious, not in the conscience. The conscience tires. The subconscious does not sleep. I learned all of that in the same emotional intelligence training. And as a result, what you tell yourself is going to impact how you respond. Your thinking about how you do is going to impact how you invest. It's going to impact your relationships. It's going to impact everything. So that you need to get people in their mind. So it is more about, and that's why I agreed with the Bob Marley discussion, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. And how do you do that? How do you respond to fellow man?
Dennis has his guitar there. Perhaps he can do his version of the song. I'm sure the whole of Barbados will listen to that.
I would sing too, trust me. But I don't have permission to sing. That's not within the contractual arrangements.
I let somebody else come in.
I thank you, sir. This is Dr. Brad Stacks. Today is the Emancipation Day. I'll take one call before we go to the...
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Time late. Good morning, sir.
This is in response to the caller who spoke about the refund write-off of VAT.
Yes.
All right. I would like to suggest that we abolish the VAT and replace it with the NSRL. Now, they said the NSRL was a tax that was collected by the government up front. So the government would be responsible for collecting their tax. And then the merchants, they could pass it on to the customers.
Yes, I have had that discussion on numerous occasions. I'll let you continue.
No, I'm finished. I just let you to respond.
Oh, you didn't hear me this week and the week prior?
So what do you think about that idea?
I think that the government of Barbados has made a decision to move away from the national social responsibility levy for a reason. And that the value-added tax, which has a larger tax net, which means that more people pay value-added tax because it's on goods and services. So in other words, if government is getting $257 million from value-added tax and it got $54 million from NSRL, there's no justification for government to return to NSRL.
I'm saying that you abolish the VAT and you have one tax, the NSRL.
So where would government take the $257 minus $54? Where would they get that intake? Where would they get that other revenue from?
All the things that they apply on VAT now, they will apply the NSRL to that there. Because there won't be no VAT. The NSRA will be replaced in VAT.
Okay, so it's a suggestion. It is a suggestion on the table from you that government should remove value-added tax and replace it with the National Social Responsibility Levy. There was an economist who I have a lot of respect for, Mr. Lowe, the former president of the Barbados Economic Society, and he actually wasn't just speaking to myself. He was talking to a couple of persons about this same NSRL removal and the progressive nature of or regressive nature of that tax versus the progressive nature of the value-added tax. So there's some terms in there that would be useful. But I've responded to that point on several occasions. But thank you so much for your contribution. This is Don't Brass Tacks.
Don't
Brass Tacks.
Good day.
Good day.
Happy. What is it?
Blessed day to you.
Day.
Yes, today's Emancipation Day, if that's what you wanted to mention.
Yes. History is a strange thing. It depends on who says it and who it is about and all sorts of things. We have some modern-day historians who make it up as they go ahead. And they put in who they want to put in, and they leave out who they want to leave out. In 1983, I witnessed a pageant at the Barbados Community College, which was put on by the History Department on the occasion of independence. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was the 15th anniversary of the community college as well, because the community college had started in 1968. And these illustrious persons decided to go back and to tie in the community college with the independence, what has gone on since then. They were so thorough in their investigation.
Thorough? You said thorough?
Yeah.
Okay.
That they even mentioned that a lady who was only acting as bursar was the first Miss Barbados Independent Miss Civil Service Independence Queen. But for the record, they did not mention that this creature who is speaking was the first person in the college to be made a senator in the Barbados government, mm-hmm, in 1976.
Mm-hmm. What was the name?
Beg your pardon?
What was the name?
Beg your pardon?
What was the name of the senator?
Just Olga Adele Lynch.
Okay.
And I listened with intent, mm-hmm, to my great historian friends. At least I know their names. Mm-hmm. The head of the department was Mr. Calvin Yard. Mm-hmm. There was Mrs. Marcina Haynes Williams, mm-hmm, and the great Mr. Trevor Marshall, mm-hmm, all of whom I knew, all of whom knew me. And I listened with great intent to the end of the pageant, and no mention was made of that fact.
Senator you see? Lynch. Mm-hmm.
So the point is that people make history. History depends on who is saying it and who it is about. Whether it is true or not true, whether it is deliberately missaid or misreported, or whether
or omitted. Some people choose to omit facts.
I think I would say misreported. Mm-hmm. I like that expression. Mm-hmm.